BSing with Corey and JC.
What up, everybody? We're coming from Quarantine 2020 with the JC and Corey. Bullshit and extravaganza. Today we got Brothers Giant and Mantra of Mortar with us. They'll be showing up a little later. In this, we have on the call today Amanda Wilson and Byron. Say hello.
Hello.
What's up?
You guys sound sexy, I'm just saying.
Feels good.
I was born this way, my friend. That's just how it is.
We're missing our number three. We're missing Dylan Wilson. He wanted to be here. I messaged him about it today, and he was very excited that we were doing this with y'all.
Awesome. We miss him.
For sure.
He's working hard. He's one of them essential workers, right?
He's a union worker. He's working hard for the money.
Making that sand.
You guys make me laugh. I miss you fuckers, by the way. I just want to make that clear.
I miss human contact in general.
I miss playing rock and roll shows.
You kind of... It's Amanda, you sound almost like you're underwater a little bit.
Probably because I'm so close to Byron. Go away, Byron.
Okay. Scoot away from each other a little bit. I love you. But no, I miss, like, if anybody, all of our listeners out there, a lot of you guys probably know, with the people that are on this show today, Byron, Amanda, Corey, and myself, we're all very intertwined as friends as well. We're not just colleagues that show up and play and work together. We are very close friends as well. So it's very fun to have them on today.
Absolutely.
I've been looking forward to this one like all week.
We were excited.
Yeah, Amanda was supposed to be on the first one, actually, right, Amanda? And then you weren't feeling well, so we...
Yeah, I got a case of the allergy.
Never anybody.
Postponed. But I believe Corey...
Twisted Smoke to win with you guys, too. That was a good time. That was one of the last two gigs, like, Illinois had.
Oh, yeah.
We had a ball.
That was the last... I think that I'm pretty confident that was the last actually Twisted Spoke show for the Friday night music series.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And it was John Wagner.
We just missed it.
Genre neutral, baby.
Hell yeah.
Talk about.
I'm looking forward to more of those.
Oh, I'm dying. Shout out to Nick Bell. I'm dying to get back on the stage.
Right?
And then I've been.
What did you guys think of Berlin music?
Say that again, Corey.
I said, what do you guys think of playing Berlin music?
I thought it was a great show. Like, I was surprised for such a small space, like, how well it turned out and how well the flow of everything went. And just everybody was into it. Everybody was having a great fucking time. I remember I got a picture of an all-girl mosh pit. And just the look on everybody's faces when, like, looking at the mosh pit of the girls, they were just like, what the fuck? Like, it was, like, the best. It was my favorite picture of the whole night.
I feel like, and you guys, most of you guys are about my age, I felt like it was the late 90s, early 2000s in that motherfucker night.
It did.
It felt like it was a different era.
It felt like that again.
Altogether. Like, I haven't felt that in a room in a long time. Like, and we've played a lot of rooms, but that one just felt different. You know what I mean?
There's a room of friends and family and people that were there to listen to a bunch of rock and roll, no matter what anybody was playing. It was like a really good time. And having that like space in the basement too, like for the bands, gave such a nice opportunity for me to mingle and like meet new people and connect and make friendships that now have, you know, since been existing throughout this wild times we live in, and that's been really nice. And I think it was kind of a blessing in a way that we were all able to like connect, you know, in those like last few weeks with those shows and kind of have this relationship to carry through.
I love that. I agree. Thank you. And thank you guys for supporting Illinois as much as you have.
Thank you for supporting our band.
Like we Like, dude, like 3 months ago, me and Corey were just literally, Corey and my line, 3 months ago we were talking. We'd spend every day, and we still do, every day on the phone for hours to the point where people would get mad at us and hate us for it. I mean.
Yeah, there was a joke. Like, keep that going, though.
Who hangs up first?
Like, and.
You hang up.
No, Corey always makes, Corey always makes me hang up.
You fucking liar.
Like, he
you
just gets me busy.
Because your old ass can't find the button.
I do. That's true. It's true. That's true. But and like, yeah, I have to tell Corey I can't find the button. Because if I find the button, it's equal. It's equal. But yeah, I'm old, and he makes fun of me for losing the button because I literally can't find it.
It's funny.
I think so, but I still lose the button, man. It's got to do with weed. I think the weed makes me lose the button.
All about focus.
I think that I'm an old man. Fuck to them is all. It's nothing personal.
That's what it is. Thanks, Corey, calling me old. Dude, I found a bunch of gray hair. Like, it's all salt and peppery in the side of my head.
We saw it today on your live.
I see.
Oh, I hate you guys. You guys are making fun of that shit, dude. Like, is that why you said salt and pepper?
Yeah.
I get it now, Corey, you jerk. I thought I was jamming What a Man, What a Man, What a Mighty Good Man, and here you are making fun of my hair.
I'm sorry.
What the fuck?
Oh, all right.
I'm sorry. I had to say something, you know?
Dude, what is
yeah, that was fucking great, though. Here I am, shooping it up over here. Shoop-a-doop, and you're fucking, you know? What just happened?
Well, fuck, guys. I got a few questions for you now that we're on the topic. You know,
let's get down.
But
questions.
Oh.
Let's go ahead and dig into the origins of BG. Where did you guys get your start?
The collective. Where did you guys do a really big dab before we do this? So.
Get it.
Oh, okay. Time out. Get that dab,
and then I gotta get away from it. So you guys just talk amongst yourselves for a moment. Just like talk about that Illinois style and everything.
You're an asshole.
We won't talk. Oh, Corey. Real quick, hang on, guys. Corey, so you've got something you were working on the last few days, right? You might as well go ahead and talk about that.
Yes, we hit the Mark Studios again.
So awesome.
You got? Oh, you're working on what? You got a new single coming out? Hello? Corey.
Corey, where'd you go?
Corey's gone right now.
I am right here.
Oh, you are there.
I am
here. Yeah.
I'm here.
Is this... I was mentioning your new single.
Yeah, we're up in Sutmore Studios again, working on our new single called Plagued.
There it is, Plagued.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good one. Yeah,
it's fucking bad. You've performed it live already, correct?
Yes, we did play it in Streeter.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I believe that's the song I heard Kurt talking about that he was worried about because he was hoping that they were gonna be ready for it.
Let's hope he is.
Well, he was. I mean,
he's
the man. The studio. We
Sean's a beast. Sean's a beast. Why is he not in here? Shit. Somebody go send Sean the link. We forgot. No, I forgot to send Sean the link. Corey, can you do that real quick?
Yeah.
I'm a dumbass.
I'm definitely going to go quiet.
Thank you, brother.
Be right back.
Okay. Yeah, Corey will be quiet for a second, and then when he gets back with Sean, we'll have questions for you.
It's fucking clicking. It's bugging
and such. I was wondering why it was so fucking not so goofy, and then Sean's not here to goof it up.
Sean is actually one of the three original OGs. Yeah.
Brothers Giants.
We started it together.
So let's bring on Sean. Actually, my band and a member of the Byron.
Hold on one second, guys.
Every time you talk to me, it's all can't.
He was actually, Byron was just actually talking about that, Corey.
Yeah, yours isn't doing it, and mine is. It's so annoying.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. I just don't want
to. You know, just unplug the headphones and do it as speakerphone.
Opposite my room, you use speakerphone.
No, it's not that. Like,
It's my headphones. Like, we're cool, like, sound-wise. It's just
my headphones.
Clicking in the background. I think it's something wrong with my headphones.
Yeah, when you guys aren't right next to each other, it sounds fine.
Jesus, dude.
Wait, what?
Lock yourself in the
bathroom. I said, when you guys aren't...
Oh, it sounds like we're in the bathroom.
Lock yourself in the bathroom.
I'm fine. I was fine. I feel better here.
You guys crack me up.
This is
the most... This is going to be the most baked podcast.
I'm not, but there's...
I was listening to the effects of medicinal marijuana.
There's a clicking in the background of my head, and I'm hoping that it's just not getting picked up by the podcast. Like, I don't want this whole podcast to be botched.
Nobody can hear your clicking. I am the master of the podcast.
Stop pacing like
the podcast is going through me. I love you guys. They crack me the fuck up.
We can let me die.
I just do what I want.
The fuck? Take a nap.
Take a fucking nap. I've been up since fucking 6 o'clock watching my nephew. I've been doing ABC all goddamn day, and now I'm here and I get to let loose. Thing to sound good. Now I don't hear clicking anymore and everything sounds great. All right. So
that's Sean. Sean saved the day. There's no clicking now. Thanks, Sean. You saved the day.
Hey,
Sean.
Hey.
I'm sorry I'm a complete dumbass and didn't realize you weren't in that group chat and you did not get the link right away. So basically all we've done is introductions, and you can feel free to call me a dumbass now.
You're fucking
dumbass.
Love you.
Thank you.
Time.
Thank you.
I still love you, but you're my lovable idiot.
Oh, I'm your lovable idiot. Me and Sean, Corey, we're all Corey, Sean's kind of a hoe, isn't he?
A little bit.
We love Sean. He's kind of a hoe because we share him though. Is that Piper? Hi, Piper.
Want to say hi to Justin?
Hi, Justin.
Say hi.
Hi, Justin.
Hi, Piper.
Aww.
She said hi.
No.
So, anyway, guys, we're just getting ready, Sean. Corey's going to start with his questions for Brother Giant.
Oh, all right. Let's do it.
All right. Go ahead, Corey. Take over.
Like I said, I want to discuss the origins. Where did Brother Giant come from? How did you guys get your start? Where did you guys meet? Give me the details.
Well, it's very fitting that Sean joined the podcast right now because he's part of it. Dylan, the bass player that plays with us now, and Sean and I, we all worked at a company that I will not give any credit to because fuck that place.
Fuck him.
Word.
None of us work there.
Fuck work.
And fuck that place.
Fuck work.
Hashtag fuck up Sean Sauce. Moving on. So we started with Sean and Dylan and I playing in his apartment in Marseilles, Illinois. Working on covers.
Martucky.
Yes.
Hee hee.
We were a country band. And doing a lot of country stuff, and then like just kind of venturing out. But like at the time, my voice was much different, and I kind of sang with a little more twang, and had a little bit. And we were a little bit softer back then. And Sean eventually left the band. And Dylan and I stuck it out for a little while, and we played around, and we did our thing, had a bunch of fun, made a lot of money, and Dylan eventually left the band and took on a union job, and he approached it from that way, and I decided that I wasn't going to play no more, and I kind of stepped back from it for a while, and I was working a lot, and next thing I knew, I just was feeling so sad and so depressed, and I had enough, and I gave up with my job, and I put in my resignation, and I started Brothers Giant again, but it was Brothers Giant one-man band, and I started playing with two suitcases, a kick and a snare drum, and it kind of built from there, and I eventually met Amanda, and I told Amanda that I felt like she should start playing the washboard, and I thought it would be a really cool compliment to what I was doing. And throughout that time, my voice got a little more grizzled. I got curd. I took a little less care of myself. And next thing you know, Brother Giant comes back, and Dylan comes back to the band, and Amanda switches to drums and washboard, and we get hooked up with all these crazy metal bands, and now we're just going to town. We're just trying to paint the town red. We're trying to have fun, and Amanda and I are in our 30s, and her and I are going harder than we could ever, because this is all I think we've ever really wanted in our souls. And so there you go, Brother Giant. Fuck yeah.
Mother's Giant. Let me tell you guys, man. Leave it open.
I love what you guys do. Like, it's so different.
Multi-talented in that band. It's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Yeah. Agreed. Like, your vocal style is different as fuck.
Next question. You guys work with a lot of bands that aren't anything like your guys' style. How does that sit with you guys? How do you feel about that?
Sometimes that's surreal. I don't know. Like, so I was brought up playing classical piano.
I came up on straight punk rock.
The last thing I dreamed I would ever do is join a punk folk band. So it's pretty cool.
It's wild to get wrapped up with you guys, because people like to label us as a bar band and stuff, and I've been doing this for going on 25 years, and we're not a bar band. I've never been a bar band. You can ask my mom to this day. She will say, you need to learn covers, Byron, because people like to hear stuff they know. I didn't believe that until I was 27 years old. I'd already been playing for over a decade. And I was like, fuck, I need to start playing some shit that people know. And as soon as I started doing that, life changed. Money came in better. It funded the things that I cared about the most, which was my original sound. I've been in so many bands and been kicked out of my own bands, you know, through someone leaving me a voice message. Like, I got kicked out of my very first band. Someone left me a voice message, like, on voicemail, left me a message and said, you know, hey, I talked to the guys. We decided that, you know, we don't need you in the band no more. You're fucking 13 years old. You're still learning, trying to do the best that you can, and they don't care back then. What I've come to realize is you have to try to play to the people and play to yourself at the same time, as long as you're always being authentic and true to who you are. And that's what this band is about. It's about being authentic. You will never hear a cover that is played the exact same way.
Oh, no.
Balance is important.
I love that about you guys.
But nobody complains unless you're in it. You know, I don't know her name, but I'll call it this crazy bitch in Iowa when we played there in Mobile. And this lady, we played our Bad Touch medley. Everybody goes crazy for that everywhere. But this one lady, it was all about us that night. We played that song, and she got so pissed off at us. And she came up to me, and she goes, we're in the middle of the song. She comes up to me and goes, you need to get a better bass player.
And, goddamn.
And Dylan heard it. And he looks at
boy.
This bitch right here. And Dylan's like, fuck. Like, and he just put his foot fucking right up, and he just fucking started playing like he was Steve Buscemi and Airheads, just fucking pelvic thrusting his way to the fucking I don't care. It was wild.
I love the Steve Buscemi reference.
It's great.
I just watched Steve that movie.
He has an inmate thrusting it.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No.
There we go. At the end of the movie.
Thrusted, and he realizes that he's thrusted into inmates. And he's like, fuck. Wrong choice.
That's fucking awesome.
That was him. He fed on that fire and that bullshit and that drama to this lady. And she ended up getting kicked out, and it was a great night.
Hey, Byron.
Yo.
All right, so if I'm not mistaken, Dylan actually learned how to play bass as Brothers Giant was first starting. Am I not correct?
Brothers Giant started because Dylan wanted to learn how to play guitar because he was trying to impress a girl.
Holy shit.
Yep.
I'm learning today.
There is the... I love that. I love that.
At the time, Dylan, Sean, and I, and a friend of our, Mel, were working another account, and we spent a lot of time together. Okay. After Dylan wanted to try to play acoustic guitar, I can remember sitting in a GameStop parking lot with him trying to teach him how to play an E in a, like, A minor 7 chord to play Free Fallin'. And he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And it's because his fingers were too big. And I told him, you could learn how to play this if you really want to put in the time. But I think you'd be a really good bass player.
Practice.
And I said, you could be a really good bass player. And I'll teach you how to do it.
Mm.
And so we talked Sean into joining the band. And then we spent the next 2 weeks trying to come up with a band name that had BG in the title, because I had a banner that was already made that said BG on it, and I didn't want to waste the money I'd already spent.
That's one hell of an origin story, bro.
You're like, when I was a solo artist, completely.
You're all looking at him high, and I had a high because that's where the truth comes out. But.
That's the best kind of interview. I'm kind of high and kind of drunk.
Dylan was trying to impress a girl. And
goddamn,
he wanted to learn how to play guitar. And then I talked him into playing bass, and then bass from the start. And we play a song. It's the second song on every show we play. That's the full show. And it's 11 months and 29 days. And when he learned how to play that bass line, that walking 12-bar blues bass line, it was the happiest day of his life. And now the motherfucker is pushing me to play Billie Eilish and pushing me to play Post Malone songs. And he's part of the reason why we do Feel Good Inc.
That's pretty awesome.
I love the way you guys do things.
For a long time, when he left the band to my own, that's where the growl came from and the yelling. But the screaming and the real heavy stuff that we're working on now, it didn't actually happen until Amanda joined the band, because it gave me a percussive, when she was on Washboard, it was like the band was better. And then when she started playing drums 4 months ago, it was like, holy fuck, we're a band. And this motherfucker can actually play, and she's never even done this before.
Yeah, I'm just going to chime in. Amanda, you've only been playing the drums for fucking months.
She's right here, but I don't know what the fuck she's doing. Where the fuck she go?
Where'd she go?
Where are you, Amanda? Her shit's not working.
They asked, JCS, you've only been playing the drums for the last 4 months. How do you feel?
How do I feel? Let's move to the porch and
You've only been playing drums for 4 months. That's
right here in the foyer.
No, I'm just saying it's only
in my house.
The foyer.
In the foyer. You sound so fancy. I don't even know what the fuck a foyer is.
It's like the stairs on
top of the door. Is that a fancy porch?
You know what? Let's just see.
Can you still hear us?
Yes.
Cool. We're just gonna.
Yes.
We're just gonna roll this way now because. Her shit's fucked up, and I'm tired of the clicking. And
that's all good, man.
Well, shit, let's move on with the questions here. Good.
Yeah, sorry. I'm a talker. I'm sorry.
There you go.
No worries, brother.
Where were we at?
If you could have one element of Brothers Giant, what would it be?
What? Repeat the question, Corey. I'm sorry.
Instead, if you could add one element to Brothers Giant, either live or just in your music in general, what would it be?
I would definitely get a banjo player, and I would definitely get someone who plays the fiddle.
I agree with the fiddle.
we never really talked about this. The one thing that I always wanted in this band, and where Amanda was actually, where she started playing washboard when it was Brothers Giant and the Mother Folkers band. And then I felt like there was this kind of weird separation between her and Dylan and I, or me and Dylan and her. It felt like there was this weird kind of barrier. So then we just became Brothers Giant as one band. But I initially wanted her to like still play washboard at times, but like I wanted her to play organ and like kind of like kind of 60s, like real kind of dirty rock, like blues organ. And I know that she's capable of it. So that's kind of where we were progressing towards. And then we added Casey Carino to play drums for a hot minute.
Yeah.
And we played one show with him, and he is an incredible musician, but like at the time it just didn't mesh well. And Amanda and I had a conversation and we're like, you should just do it. And so I gave her my bullshit drum kit that he was using.
It was such a piece of shit. It came from, didn't it come from the curb? It'd been like
parts of it were from the curb, parts
outside,
of it
outside, been rained on.
Yes, it had been waterlogged.
Dude, it's got a Brothers Giant-y kind of feel to it. So, like, when you say stuff like that.
Made it all custom looking, and even though it was a complete piece of garbage with broken heads and everything was wrong with it, it sufficed her, well, it inspired her enough to want to be able to actually approach
it. It gave me a chance to try it, which was something that I had wanted to do since I was probably, I don't know, 10 years old. I wanted to do it since I was 10.
I'm going to say.
I'm from Quincy, and Quincy is very classical music. It's a very artsy district, and they just couldn't see past the idea of their daughter playing the drums, and that used to drive me insane. So, of course, when I got the chance to finally be like, oh, I can do this. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. If somebody tells me to do something, I'm gonna.
Hell
do
yeah.
It.
I'm gonna say something real quick to you, Amanda, and I think I speak for most of us, like a lot of us, and I think this will lead probably into Corey's next question quite well. But I think that like all of us are pretty in awe of the amount and the level of talent that you have across the board. Like, you come at us as a photographer with kick-ass pictures. You come and post your piano videos with your amazing piano playing. And then you're playing drums and washboard and Brothers Giant. Like, and you're, you know, we went to a Lamb of God show and you shot that show as a photographer, had never written an article in a magazine before, pulled out and did that on your very first fucking event. Like, you are super fucking talented and we all adore and love you, just so you know.
Took the words right out of my mouth, sir.
Like,
definitely spoke for me there, buddy.
I think for me, because 5 years ago I was involved in an overdose after I had a surgery for my Crohn's disease, and it left me not being able to play piano, and I was devastated, and I had to actually relearn how to put my left and my right hand back together.
Oh wow!
Then once I started doing that, there was no stopping me. Like, once you. It's kind of like the whole quarantine thing. Once you have all this stuff taken away from you, you just want it more when you can get it back. You know? And that's how I feel about music.
I feel like both of
us are in the same
place right now in life where we're appreciating everything a lot more. And
I'm glad you guys found each other.
Amen to that.
She does. Relit the fire.
Well,
hell yeah.
That's really what I needed. Like,
I was trying to light the bomb. But, you know.
Her playing and her commitment to now what I can call her craft, and the commitment that I have to trying to just play at my best and show up every time to not let her and Dylan down is what fuels us. Like, we are, and that's like that bullshit photo of us. If you look us up on Facebook, facebook.com/brothersgiant,
Blog.
We have
Plug.
That photo that looks like a family portrait, and that's exactly why it is the way that it is. And whenever we leave a place and we get done playing at a venue, we post on their Facebook page that photo that says "So long and thanks for the booze, sincerely, Brothers Giant," because we appreciate everything. We appreciate the work. We appreciate the people. We are so grateful.
The booze.
Yes.
The booze are always good.
The booze is good when the crowd is bad.
Yeah.
But we have been very fortunate, and I'm not only gonna plug us, but with Ill Noise, Patrol at Dawn, and Chaos Ordinance, we have been very, very fortunate to be able to do what I have been wanting to do at a serious level and get connected to the people that wanna work the same way that we wanna work. And you guys have given us that.
Hell yeah.
And you've given us a 45-minute set instead of me going and us going and playing at such a high fucking energy level for 4 hours or 3 hours. Now we do it for 45, and we feel like we're playing for people that are actually giving a single fuck.
Well, I think I've said this to you before, Byron. I think I may have said this to you before. It's different being like a centerpiece versus the background music to what's going on. Like your music in the event, but now these are your shows and your events. You know what I mean? And these things are taking notice. For some reason, when you do them 45-minute sets, they're commanding. I don't get it.
It's that what I've always tried to do, and
you know?
What we have really pushed ourselves to do is we want to have, and you know, I know that some of you, especially you, Justin, have seen us play multiple times for 3 or 4 hour sets. And the intensity and the power, I feel like, is always there. And that's kind of what I always feel like.
Well, it is. Absolutely is always there.
When people want to just call us and staple us as a bar band, it pisses me off because I know that we're far beyond that.
Oh, you guys are so far. Like, I mean, I missed a show, right, Corey? There was a show that I missed due to sickness. Fuck, could have been COVID-19, who knows. But I was sick. I was sick as hell. And what happened, Corey? You want to tell that story?
Shit, he got super sick and couldn't do the fucking gig. So we had to go down there with Brothers Giant and throw it at him.
What I got a question about that though. But they impressed Mr. Bell, who will be on the show next week on Sunday or on Monday's show. So much that Nick was like the same night was like, "Hey, you guys want to come back and headline?" Yeah. And that ended up genre neutral. Am I right, you guys? So I mean, like, you're mixing it up with metal bands and playing metal show with. What, three other metal bands, I believe, and impressing so much that
so fucking happy when we play with you guys.
We got that. We got this new song that we're working on called Vagabond. That is.
Yeah, me and Byron, when we practice together, we like to have this little thing that we call metal minute. And it's, you know how I really want to jump to metal, and I always dream of being able to be a metal drummer.
Doesn't Sean have one for you?
I do.
Sean, don't you have a double pedal for her?
Booyah.
I need to get it.
Bring it out.
Do you think Brothers Giant is going to bring in metal pace?
I'm gonna come up there with my gas mask.
What was that, Corey?
So do you
Corey
guys
had a
think
good question
that now
there.
That you have the outlet and the means, you'll start taking a harder pace, you think, with your music?
Like more metal vibe, or
now that my voice has changed, it's more hoarse all the time and raspy. The goal is now is kind of something that I've always wanted to do, but never could figure out how to. I would like to approach a sound where I can scream softly, like more along the lines of like Rise Against and stuff.
Hell yeah!
And I.
That's fucking awesome. One of my favorite bands.
I've been working on for the last couple of weeks throughout all of this because she goes nowhere aside from like the dispensary, and I go.
I only leave for weed. That's literally
and
it.
I just go back to my hospice reader and back here. So when same. We're together, we, same. We've been working on this new song, and it's a word that I wanted to have in a song, and I never thought I could get it to be a title. And we're piecing it together, but it feels like the future of the band.
Oh, yeah, that's what I like to hear.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm just looking.
I'm really, really, really looking forward to that.
Real people,
because I'm not real, you know.
I'm sick of playing by. I'm sick of playing with myself. So, I want to play with other people. I'm sick of playing with myself. I don't know.
Yes, Corey. I think the band is looking towards a balanced future of not only playing heavier music, but
I don't think he gets a choice. Because when we play, my favorite thing to say is,
let's go fast.
Go fast. I want to go fast. Let's go faster.
I'm a drummer, fucker. I want to do this. Typical drummers. Typical drummers. I just want to hit it fast and hard.
Same way, like Dylan loves.
Same with the washboard, though. I love going fast on the washboard.
Dude, it's fucking like it's like a 19. It's like a winter blizzard outside. Is anybody else seeing that shit?
Here, I think you guys got what we had because we're down here in El Paso.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been outside.
Okay.
It's been great.
But anyway,
yes. The topic you got any more questions? Been, what are we doing during this quarantine to stay sane? So, like, what's keeping you guys emotionally and mentally stable during the quarantine?
Well, I think the first question you need to ask was I even sane before the quarantine started?
I love it.
I've been pretty fortunate. My therapist is still seeing me, so I still get to go to therapy every 2 weeks.
Trying to say,
which is really nice because I know a lot of people don't have that opportunity, and people really need to, you know, reach out if you're, you know, starting to feel bad. This is really going to start to mentally affect people.
So, wouldn't you consider that an essential need for people then?
Would that be something we would consider essential? But are they only doing that on an emergency need basis, like most other medical
therapy
things right now?
I think for
yes.
So I'm an open book when it comes to my life. I think for people who are at high risk, their availability. I personally struggle with complex PTSD, and that leads to a lot of suicidal idealizations. So. Being that I'm quarantined in my house and stuck, it's definitely been trying. I try to put as much focus as I can into music, but at the same time, my whole family's at home and I love them to death, but we're not used to being around each other quite this much. So there's a lot of adjusting going on.
Yeah.
And the same
thing. You get to know people a little better too, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like with her and I staying relatively safe, my outlet or my therapy has been our opportunity to, at least for the two of us,
to
come right.
See each other.
As long as we're here to be able to work on stuff and keep progressing, like it doesn't feel like I think Dylan feels, because he's still working at essential jobs, so he is.
Dylan was thoughtful enough to quarantine himself because they had possible cases at his work, and he didn't want to do anything to compromise me because of my compromised immune system. I think a lot of you guys know that I have a lot of health problems.
But,
so this has been this has actually been
we do.
Scary for me and my family.
But it's actually as much as you know, it's scary. It's also actually beneficial to hear from somebody in your position. Like we hear a lot of people that are on Facebook that are, oh, this, that, and the other thing. But somebody that is actually immunocompromised and somebody that you know, health is a concern, and this is a real concern for, not that it's not a real concern for all of us, and but much more of a real concern for you. So thank you for being so open and so honest and so forthcoming about all of that. That's
straightforward and honest about mental health. Like, we're not going to get anywhere if we're not.
So, and I agree.
Mental health should be a topic that's easy to talk about as music, in my opinion.
I don't think I could play rock and roll if I didn't struggle with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing, is a lot of musicians and artists, they do struggle with mental health problems in one way or another, and I think that's kind of what makes us all a little unique.
Definitely. You have to be somewhere mentally to even jump into the field.
That's for sure.
It's complete murder out there.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with each one of us.
It's a little suicidal to put it all on the line out there.
Yeah, usual suspects.
What about you, Byron? What have you been up to?
Usual suspects, huh?
I literally spend most of my time watching my nephew, and then when I'm not doing that, I'm just working really hard to stay progressive and focused, because if I get into some kind of rut, I don't know if I can. So that's, like, I mentioned multiple times, it's important that Amanda and I are able to stay productive, because it keeps me busy and keeps me focused, and she's been my saving grace in the sense that I can I'm pushing myself to write harder guitar parts and sing at different, well, I guess, like, scream at different keys. And it's been really nice. Like, I've said it before, as long as none of us can get it and we don't get fucked up, I feel like this thing's not going to be so bad for Brothers Giant. As long as we stay safe and we play it smart, you know, I feel like Amanda and I are going to progress to the level that we're going to get Dylan caught up relatively quickly, and then we're going to be good. I mean, I guess right now for us, we're waiting like another 10 days until Dylan's cleared again. And then as long as there's no more cases where he's working, then he'll probably come back. But
hell yeah.
That's
we're kind of in a similar boat here.
To a very much entertainment starved crowd, and people are going to really want to come out. I think in the end, after this is over, I think it'll actually be a good thing for.
I hope so.
All right, guys, real quick before we proceed, you guys don't have to go anywhere, being that you're on one mic now. So I'm going to go ahead and invite Jesse and Josh in whenever they'd like to come in. I'm just letting you know.
Plug our shit real quick.
Shameless plug.
What's that?
All about shameless plugs, man.
Yeah, plug it. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Keep talking. I'm just going to send the invite.
Instagram, Brothers Giant. Everything's Brothers Giant. Just look it up. It's on YouTube. We're everywhere. We have a record out right now. We got a new record coming out called The Hard Truth. Comes out in 2 weeks.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. You got any shout-outs, brother?
Shout-out to Illinois. Shout-out to Chaos Ordnance.
Shout-out to Dylan. We love you. And we miss you.
God, we miss you.
We miss you so much, little Dill Pickle.
Dill. Aw, Dilly Willy.
Aw, he's going to be so pissed when I said that.
Oh, fuck you.
I'm going to call him Dilly for now.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for the opportunity. We appreciate it.
But,
yeah.
Can you guys hear me still? Am I still there? Oh, cool. I'm able to back out and still communicate
Corey,
with you guys.
JC,
that's super
dope.
Do I
have time to ask Byron and Amanda a couple questions?
So,
fuck yeah, you do.
Fucking sweet. All right, Byron.
Yeah, absolutely.
Byron. I love you, for starters. Yeah. Take off your work boots and show me your pecker.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was showing my
quarterback cannoli.
Take off the workbook and show me.
See these guys. I think these guys are secretly in love.
Proceeding with it, Byron. I was showing my daughter a video of you guys playing. I do believe it was a live stream from Pekin, just recently. And my daughter wants to know, since now you're a fairly big guy, why do you look like you're constipated when you sing?
Yes.
I'm asking for my 9-year-old.
I feel like you helped put that word together.
Actually, no, I don't.
The more important question.
My 9-year-old is very, very dumb.
I did not help her.
Better.
Hey, I got an answer. I got a good answer for him. If you don't, Byron.
So me and Dylan have noticed practice when Byron really, really starts to get into a song, he starts to really bounce his legs. But it's in such a fashion that he looks like a Muppet. So he looks like a puppet, like on strings, and he's just bouncing. And it's like the funniest goddamn thing in the fucking world. And I wish he would do it on stage.
It's your fucking game face, Byron. Don't let
him
shit talk to you.
That's why he looks constipated. He can't let the Muppet out.
I mean, I just need a straight answer that I could tell my 9-year-old. That's all I need.
Sing and scream with the voice that I have now. Because for the last 3 years, 2 of those years, I was singing, yelling, and singing in falsetto. And a man can vouch for that because she's known me about that long. And my voice changed like a year ago. And I lost it. Got GERD. Found mold in a microphone that I was singing in for over a year. Like, it was...
Clean your mics, folks.
For real. Wash your hands. Clean your mics.
Yes, yes.
T-shirt, fucking coin. Don't try to take that. What? But I my voice just changed, and it's never really come back, but I've learned to, like, do what we do now more aggressively and more... which has been more entertaining, I think. Like, people, like, come to me now... instead of one person every show saying, oh, now it's multiple people every night saying, oh, your voice is so unique. I love it. Like, you do things so differently. And, you know, then you have a built-in great, amazing thing with Amanda that is a washboard player. So it's like, nobody does that. And then you have this corn-fed
county
farm boy playing bass, and we are 3 completely separate individuals. One is a mother and deals with a disease and illness, and then also is a musician. And then there's the corn-fed country boy, and then there's the hardcore punk rock grizzled doesn't give a fuck kind of person. So I think we're the perfect trio.
We're the perfect family.
Absolutely. You guys are literally the best. Also, Byron, I just want to add to when I very first met you.
I love
you,
it.
I mean, about your voice change. Your voice has changed a lot, but it has changed a lot in, like, probably the best way possible. So I would have to say that your voice is twice as big and you're half the size now. Because you lost how much weight since I've seen you last?
I appreciate that. Since the last question was about me looking like I was couldn't shit, pretty good.
It wasn't, and you know your answer should have been right there. I look constipated because I'm the shit.
With me, and now I weigh 279.
Fucking yes, dude. That's a big dude.
Holy, that's a.
I did. I lost
exactly.
Like I lost a person.
Half of you, but you gained twice the voice, man. I gotta say, I love you, man. I'm so proud of you.
I'm proud of you, dude. I can't. I'm so excited that we get to share the stage, so dude. It's so exciting.
I appreciate
where we came from.
I appreciate that, brother.
Well, I think we've got 2 minutes before Mantra Immortus is supposed to jump on here with us.
Ooh, ask me.
I do. I will. First off, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
That's not the question. Anyway, so
here we go, guys.
Being the only female member in Brothers Giant, aside from yourself, who acts like the bigger diva between Byron and Dylan?
Who acts like the bigger D-bag?
Diva.
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 Oh, no, it's definitely...
It's you know what? It's I love you, Dylan. I love you so much. But there is this time where we accidentally knocked a beer over. Where were we playing? We were playing the Live Wire.
I think that was Montrose that night.
No, we were playing the Live Wire.
Oh, it was the Live Wire. We're all the
playing the Live Wire in Chicago, and accidentally knocked a beer into his lap, and my poor guy had to go have a timeout in the van. It's rough.
That's hilarious.
I said, Dylan. I said, why do you care? Like your base is right in front of your. Nobody can see it, and it's just, you know.
I was literally in the street with him while he was sitting in the car, and I told him I would give you my pants, and I will play in my boxers.
I told him I would pee my pants for him. That's how deep we are. I was willing to
pee in your pants is the coolest.
I was like, hey man, exactly. Peeing your pants is cool. Let's do it. Like, is that Big Daddy?
Peeing your pants is cool. Consider me Miles Davis.
Starting trends.
No, that's the one thing I've always known about Dylan, though. He's a very prideful individual. I would never ask him to change for anything else in the world. Dylan is by far, he's like the soft-spoken asshole that everyone should be warned about.
Oh, my God, is that the...
Because...
But he's never Dylan made me feel so protected in my life.
Exactly. With your friend, your family, he loves you. He will protect you with everything in his being.
He absolutely will.
Absolutely.
He's a dickhead teddy bear. That's probably about the best I can describe
it. When we met, and then we got pissed drunk at a company Christmas party, and we became.
Hey man, you gotta admit those Christmas parties were pretty badass though.
Oh yeah.
Enemies become the best friends.
And then they become the brothers giant. But also, Amanda, I'm so glad that we all finally got to meet.
Yes.
You know, and you're by far, you're the best photographer I've ever encountered. And
oh, thank you, man. That means a lot.
Your drumming skills they're above par for how long you've been playing. So
thank you.
Definitely applaud you and fucking keep it up. And I love you guys.
I'm just faking it till I make it, man.
You don't even have to fake it. You already got it.
I appreciate it.
And I think I can speak for everybody when I say that you are the true meaning of savage.
Ah, thank you. Savage ladies, yes.
Hashtag plugs.
Hashtag savage ladies of metal.
What's up? This is James from Patrol at Dawn, Black in the Day, and Technical Junk. How's everybody doing today? I hope you're all staying safe and healthy. Things are kind of fucked up these days, but guess what? It's 420 all month long. So try to enjoy yourself while you're sheltering in place. Stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, support your local bands.
Whiskey Dick by Brothers Giant.
Hey.
How are you?
Give it up.
Good. Hey, what's up? To work, motherfuckers.
Hell yeah. I was actually kind of worried.
Perfectly.
I was kind of worried for a second.
No, we were to have faith. Have faith in the cock.
Hell yes. So, how's it going, guys?
Oh, it's going. It's good.
Who do we got with us? Just Jesse and Josh this evening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the spirit of the brothers. Fuck, man, I miss him so much.
The whole
mom and dad.
The whole quarantine situation's got us all fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah, truly. I mean, I'm lucky enough to still be able to work and shit, you know, but, like, it's mainly just the dogs. I don't see many people. And I'm missing my bros, man. I even miss Pickles. Yeah. Like, that's sad.
Like, I even miss Pickles.
It's sad when you miss the drummer, dude.
I miss our drummer too, but he's like an EMT. He's on the front lines, so like, you know, like he could be out in the shit. So like, I worry about him all the time.
Yeah,
he's also like an at risk. He's also an at risk for like he's you know diabetic and stuff. So
like how essential is he, man? Like at that point, like it's slavery. Like, what the fuck? That's
no. At that point, it's his life, and that's what he wants to do, man. I mean, he'd rather be out saving other motherfuckers.
As long as he's choosing it, I suppose.
Yeah, it's his choice. Absolutely, yeah. It's absolutely his choice. But
well, shit. For those people just tuning in, let everyone know who you guys are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that. What did you say, Corey?
Who are you guys?
I said for everyone tuning in.
I'm the one doing all the talking. What's up, Josh?
I'm Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Can you hear him? Josh. He's sitting farther away. Can you hear him okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard him.
Cool, okay.
Good. Sweet.
This is a cool fucking thing. Like, me and Corey just decided to start doing it, and like, we wanted to bring in like the homies and the community. And like, one thing is you guys are from like Indiana, right?
Yep.
Yep.
So, you guys love it there, apparently, just as much as we love Illinois. I'm sure.
I'm sure it's the fucking.
I do appreciate being out like in a little town now. So it's not as much.
Yeah, man. We moved. We moved, and like nobody knows pretty much where we are. So. We're like out here incognito.
Hell yeah!
Yeah,
is it
that's like Sean. He's hiding
small, like town.
Like a small town. Is that what you said, Corey?
Am I just not coming through?
No, you came through. It just something came. It was like you were quiet for one part of it.
I said, do you guys have a country house, or is it like a small town at least?
It's a really, really small town.
Yeah, tiny tot of a town. A village.
We've got, like, quite a few towns like that around here, actually, too.
I mean, the street is the village with the corn.
Yeah, it's corn.
Sean's in a small, small town.
Yeah, my closest neighbor's a cornfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
But it's like, it's cool though, because like you guys are from Indiana, but yet you're still like, you're still a local band here. Like, you are family. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed this the last two times you played here, but there was fans in the crowd singing you guys' lyrics.
Man, that's
so like,
so
as you're
hard.
Yeah.
Like, as you're out here, dude, like, they're singing your guys' shit. And I'm like, and I'm in the crowd going, these guys, this is only the second time they've been out here, bro. And, like, the fans are singing their shit. You know what I mean? So.
And then at 9th Street, you got the chant going, saying you guys are one of us.
Man.
And you are definitely one of us.
Thank you guys for giving me just a fucking rowdy-ass birthday. Like, and that was before the shitstorm, you know? Like
the day before the shitstorm, everything went to hell after that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And then everything just kind of.
This is a great time.
Yeah. So I'm smiling from ear to ear. You can't see me, but I'm smiling though.
we believe you. But like, I've actually got a few questions that I've got ready for you guys. And if you want to go through that stuff first, or we could talk about the subject of matter, is like, yeah, let's do that first, actually.
All right.
We're all quarantining, right?
Right.
And like, we're all stuck in this shelter at home. I don't want to call it quarantining because we're not all officially quarantining, obviously. But we're shelter in place, as they're calling it, right? Yeah. Like, how are you guys staying sane? Like, luckily you guys have each other, obviously.
Oh my gosh, like, yeah. I don't even know what.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I don't know what I would do. Honestly.
Like,
I don't want to think about how life would be, like, even without Minnie. Minerva's such a wonderful, like, she's an inspiration through all of it, because she's so positive for the most part. You know, she gets down, you know, she gets frustrated sometimes, but for the most part, she's always just like bubbly and bouncing, ready to go. And just,
and
she
now
keeps
like,
you motivated.
They're doing like the e-learning stuff too. So
the virtual,
I mean, that
learning,
keeps us busy, but she just got used to being like at school again. And
because she was homeschooled.
Like, no, homeschooled,
she was homeschooled for the first few years of her life, you know.
My kids are now, I understand.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's kind of doing it now and experimenting with it. Good luck to the parents out there, you know. Anybody who's struggling, it's not the easiest thing.
And she can't play with other kids. She sees the kids in the other yards playing outside, and it's like, dang it.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine being a kid through this.
Oh, God.
Time for your fifth guitar lesson today, sweetie. Sorry.
She did play the ukulele today until her fingers hurt. She came up to me. She was telling me about it. Oh, so
my girlfriend's daughter's 18, and like even at that age, like I couldn't imagine. Like 18, like your friends are the most important thing in the damn world.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, like how do you tell a teenager that, like, no.
Yeah, because I probably would have been pissed as a teenager. I would have been irate to go through this crap.
Oh, I'd have been revolting for like for sure. I mean, there's no way I could have functioned.
No,
I'd have been speaking out.
Like, and they're just like, and it's almost so weird because if you think about it, it's just like they're like half expecting it. Like, as to like our generation, we would have been like, this had never happened. You know, like 9/11 caught us off guard, like, let alone, you know, these kids are going through like a whole different.
This is like a whole different form of psychological warfare that like we've never experienced in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Right.
Or anybody for that matter ever.
I think they were kind of preparing for it. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, because all the kids are on their devices all the time. You know, at least they're
For sure.
They're prepared for it a little bit. Like, I feel like if I had gone through this kind of thing, like, I wouldn't have been prepared to learn about, you know, the internet and shit. Like, how, I don't even know how that would have, I don't know how it would have functioned.
We were just barely figuring out what the internet was at that age. No, so, I mean, like
age ourselves and shit, but yeah.
I'm good with it. I'm good with aging myself. I'm 36. So I was in sixth grade. The first time I remember using web crawler was like the first search engine I remember being on, like in sixth grade, man. Like, I don't even care. Like, you know, like, so I can remember, I can literally remember like pre the internet. So it's like, what did we do? We played Capture the Flag and shit.
Fucking Oregon Trail in black and white.
Hey, fuck off. You love calling me old, don't you, Corey?
You're an old bastard. I'm sorry.
That's true. So I got some questions for you now that we all like, you know, just normal fucking interview questions.
Yeah.
But like my first one being like, how long have you guys been a band? Like, is this the first form of this band as well? Like, have you always fronted it, Jesse? You always played guitar, Josh? Like that kind of.
I mean, as Monte Morta, it's been what, 5.5, 6 years? Something like that.
Yeah. Then.
Because we were Mantra before that.
Yeah. Okay, so you've kind of, it's gone evolutions and such.
Yeah, man, it's evolved. Because I mean, like.
But before we changed the name to Mantra, we were
To All Aspiring.
And there was a couple lineup changes in that iteration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all too used to lineup changes. You guys have seen that, what, 3 times, and you played here 3 times?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Every time I got a whole new crew. Not anymore, right, Sean?
It happens.
It's dedication.
Yeah, it takes dedication. Everybody's got to be on the same page, you know?
Yeah, and, like, recently, like, my brother was the most recent one that left, so... You know, but he decided to be a family man. What can you do? Wasn't bad. Just family stuff.
Yeah.
We're not all cut out for this damn job.
Personality differences. You'd write that down somewhere.
So five or six years, is the current lineup? Is that, I mean, as Mantra, you've been five or six years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
How long have you painted the band?
Mom.
Yeah.
Has she always fronted it? Have you always been the...
Well, To All Aspiring was Dayton and Josh Cummins, Dayton Owsley. So then...
Okay.
It started off with Pickles and Thomas and Dylan.
So they've been like the remaining, like the core three.
Yeah.
And they've been working together since the whole time then.
Yes, I mean, for 6 years, but I mean, like, before that. It was just them three, and then we have some rotating pieces here and there. But it's pretty much always
your
three throughout the whole
thing. Is metal your first background, Jesse? Like, were you in metal first, or did you do like theater and all that shit? Because I did theater and shit like that first. So
yeah, well, but I mean, I grew up doing, you know, musicals and shit in school and whatnot. But like, I was in my first like heavy band at I think I was like 13. I think I just turned 14, maybe. Right around then, and
like,
I mean, we just intense. Played Lions clubs and people's garages and shit. You know, it was just everybody learning their instruments and shit.
Play well.
I remember those days,
garage band days. Like, that's, you know, those are fun. But most
I don't think you have that opportunity. I don't think most even people have that opportunity anymore. I feel like it's different. Like, they can just kind of with social media and such, they can kind of just develop themselves into the scene right away.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, that whole garage band era that we grew up in is kind of gone,
that's
right?
That's sad.
Like,
that's so sad because it's such an organic piece to it all. Like, I don't know, man. I just feel like I had a passion lit in me when I was sharing music with, you know, so many like-minded people, fans, friends, family. I mean, like, everybody. There's just something, like a connectivity to it all, I guess, that I think I would miss if I didn't get to grow up that way. But who fucking knows? Because, I mean, I grew up that way, so.
Yeah, thank God for that.
I feel like it's up to
I'm not sick.
Take some of it, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting at. Thank you, whatever. I just, you know, I have to say something. Thank doorknob for that.
I like to play. I like to do jazz music, though. I did swing choir a lot. That was
did
like
you
my
really?
Focus. Yeah, doing
that's
swing
awesome.
Choir and you know, I like Broadway tunes, I like show tunes.
Swing choir as well.
Josh did swing choir as well. Yeah, you did.
I actually warm up to like. I warm up to jazz tune like show tunes and shit.
Oh, that's awesome!
And
that's fucking fantastic.
But here's another one, right? Another question for you guys. So where'd Sean left us, it looks like, huh? But anyway, with you guys being married, right? Like, you guys are obviously husband and wife, and you just mentioned Minerva earlier. Like, all of us struggle with, like, family time and stuff like that when we're in the entertainment industry. Like, what do you guys do to, like, maximize that time when you are with, like, or do you bring her to as many shows as you can and such like that? Is, like, she, like, you said that she also plays an instrument or is learning instruments as well, right? Is that something that you bring her, involve her in as much of you guys' life as you can? Or do you, like, kind of hide her from it or, like...
Oh no. I mean, she's exposed to it all. I mean, she comes to as many shows she possibly can.
She could really give a shit less about any of it.
Yeah, she doesn't
sometimes
see,
until like the kids, the other kids say like, or something.
She's just like all off on her own, like she just goes and does her own thing.
She likes to run the merch booth. She likes to be she likes to be in charge of things and make lists. She likes to be very organized.
That's awesome.
Even if she doesn't know like what she's organizing, she just wants to feel like she's organizing something.
I wish my daughter would be organized. See, she's not. She just wants to hit drums and keyboards and shit.
Hey man, it's about the balance.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes people like that. That's cool. I like that. Like
my son's just straight chaos and his name's Zion, so it's just like so hilarious that his name's Zion and he's straight chaos. But so like you guys don't really feel that it's a struggle at all to juggle that family time? Like, I know you guys have been out on the road quite a bit this past year, right?
Yeah
I mean, it's tough being away from her, but I mean, we get to video chat, we get to call her, you know, we get to talk to her, and she, you know, she stays with family members and stuff. So people that we trust, you know, I'm very thankful for the support that we have from our family, you know, to
definitely
help her and the times when we are gone, you know, you never want to be away from your child. Ideally, she'd just come with us, you know. just all the time.
So how I'm reach for you guys?
Yeah, dude, just sit back behind the table. She could hustle some merch. I bet she could.
Oh, no problem. I'm sure.
She's a good little sales lady. She's a great little sales lady.
I've watched her. I've watched her in St. Louis. Somebody walked up and was looking at stickers, and she was like, yeah, those are $2 a piece. I was like, chill. Oh, no.
Kitty's got people look at stuff.
Jumping on them.
You breathed on that sticker, that's $1.50.
Hi, everyone. This is Cassandra Ann, representing Patrol at Dawn, Black in the Day, and Kinemrana Music. Oh, and Iniquitous Saints and Technical Junk. Talking to you from my garage here at Double Frost Records, sort of our fallout shelter here. And my advice for you is to not sit cooped up in a garage all day and get out there and get that sun, because it's so important and is so good for you. And also, don't forget to take your vitamins. Also, very, very important. All right. I think that's about it. So hopefully I see everybody soon from the stage. Can't wait.
Let's fly away.
Sorry. Sorry about that, everybody.
We got the boot, man. You said get the fuck out of here.
What happened was the tooth on the speaker. Like my girlfriend got in the shower and the speaker I had the Bluetooth on, so it went to the speaker, and by the time I got it turned off, like, it kicked us out of the room that we used.
She got to hear beautiful voices while she was showering.
Yes, facts.
Probably scared the fuck out of her.
She's gonna be like, "What?" I'm gonna get yelled at when she gets out of here. No, I'm joking. But
we were talking about wholesome things anyway.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
God damn, bro.
We were talking about
taking kids to shows. Yeah.
Family time, existence family of family time, and how you guys deal with that, being that both of you are in the band and such. Like, you know, because usually, like in my situation, my kids are with their mom or whatever. But like in yours, obviously, like, you guys go together.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic. I mean, it's a badass dynamic, but weird at the same time. When you put it in perspective like that.
We spend as much time as possible with her when she is with us.
Yeah.
And it's great because as your Facebook friend, like, I'm a friend on Facebook, and I see that stuff. Like, and I see a lot of the same – the reason I'm mentioning this is I see a lot of the same looks, especially when I see Josh. Like, a lot of the same looks on stage that are also in the family photos. You know what I mean? That same look looking at you on stage that you see in the photos. And that's fucking epic. Like,
yeah, when I look at her, dude, that's all I see is him, 100%.
Like,
it's always cool when people say that she looks like me, or they see me in her or whatever, because it's like, nah, man, that's 100%.
She does look like her dad. She definitely looks like her dad. But like, now you got, like I mentioned earlier, you guys have been out on the road a lot this past year, right? What's been some of your favorite moments from the road, favorite places like that you guys have been to?
All over the place.
Like, just everything. Everything has been just fucking fantastic. Even if it were, we've had shows where we've driven for hours and hours and nobody showed up at all. We played with, you know, some other bands, and bands, it was still a great bands. Time.
Yeah.
It's just been.
But that's like networking shit, you know? Yeah. Like, people will call that a loss, and I think that that's just a loss of their own, because those are some of the fun moments where you get to just play for one another and you get to actually sit and chill and feel just comfortable for the most
absolutely
part.
Absolutely. I think we all face those shows, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I think, what did they say? So I seen a meme. I hate to say this, but I think I seen a meme a long time ago, and it was like, if you haven't played like a room that looks like this, 1,000 times, then you don't deserve to play one that looks like this, and it's like an empty room, and then it's an arena. Like,
yeah,
you know? Dude, and I feel like that has merit. I feel like there's merit to that. But it's funny because you guys have said like empty rooms. You've played to a few people, but you guys have played also some big ass festival scenes too, haven't you? Like, I mean,
yeah, dude, I'm 1,000 people. I mean, was the Nonpoint show we played in Fort Wayne at Pierre's before Pierre's closed. I think there's a little over 1,000 people at that. That was just a sea of heads. And, like, to look out at a crowd, because you can still, I mean, I will never take for granted being able to see the whites of the eyes of people in the crowd, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to be so far away that I can't connect.
Agreed.
And so, like, I don't know. That was an amazing experience. But it's also cool to, you know, play to a show of 25, 50 people, you know, like.
That totally intimate, like.
Yeah, it's really just playing the music.
Sometimes.
And people, when people, like, dig it.
Well, yeah. I think it's funny because you just brought up that Nonpoint show, and I think that's indirectly how we met. Like, Adam had something to do with our meeting because Adam was our drummer. And then Adam worked for Nonpoint at the time. So I think even that Nonpoint show even ties into how we met, inevitably,
I think you're right.
If you think about that. Like,
yeah, dude.
We had Adam on the show last week.
Yeah, Adam was on the show last week. Some 6 degrees of separation type shit right there, you know?
That was cool.
Like, and it's funny that you mentioned that show. It just worked out. Like, but, like, Adam. Adam's the man. Love that guy.
And so he stuck his neck out for you guys.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he definitely was like, you need to bring these fucking guys. When I was like, who do we want to play with us? And he's like, these guys?
The coolest part about finally seeing you guys was like, as a musician, was like, I was watching you guys perform and I was like, damn, I need to step my game up. That was the first thing I remember thinking. Like, I was, like, super inspired. I was like, damn, everyone needs to lose their mind like that. And, like, I don't know. I went home and started yelling at the dudes, like, hey, we got to try harder right after that show. So, like.
Yeah, both bands got yelled at, I think.
Man,
I always feel like I'm just, like, standing still is what I feel like. I'm like, man, you got to move around some more. I don't know. That's how I feel about myself.
Well, you kind
of don't think that
the right side, like, hands down.
You get them big ass forceful fucking dreads though, so like you just wiggle them fuckers around a little bit, you know, and it's commanding in and of itself. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have all this weight.
You gotta try out a mullet, bro. Get that Tiger King mullet going.
No.
I can't do that.
I've already got mullet pics that my parents have when I was a kid. I'm not doing that again.
You gotta post those, bro. You gotta post the mullet pics.
Dude, if I can find a mullet picture of myself, I'd post it. I love making fun of myself, though.
I found one of my emo phase yesterday. I was like, no.
Is that when you're like,
with an emo phase, man? You're just like artists.
Just your eyes.
I'm kind of glad I missed that by a couple years, man.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of missed the whole emo thing.
I'm with you. I didn't hit the emo stuff.
Like, it was like when I was like in that age group, it was like people were wearing like shell toes and Korn. Like, people wanted dreadlocks, man.
I mean, I'm not saying that I was emo. I'm saying at this point, my hair was long enough to where everyone and their mom was asking me if I was having a hard day. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I get it. But it's just like, I miss that whole era of like music, I think.
What's your favorite emo thing about?
I liked My Chemical Romance a lot. I don't care for, you know, the real whiny shit. I mean, to be honest, if we're all being honest here, you know, like the real whiny stuff, I'm not a huge fan of. But like, my chem is good. I fucking love My Chem.
I've seen them live with Linkin Park, so I can't say they're not a terrible. They're a fucking amazing live.
That would have been a killer show,
dude. You want me to really ruin your day, you want to hear this lineup, dude? It's fucking ridiculous. It was Mindless Self Indulgence was one of the bands. Placebo, Him, My Chemical Romance, and Linkin Park.
God damn.
Mindless Self Indulgence. I would have lost my mind too.
They're going on tour. They're supposed to be going on tour this year. They got a new album coming out, so we shall see.
It's 3 a.m. He won't put out.
We should. What weird fucking music that is.
That's not weird. That's magical. That's art.
What kind of music, like, you being a female metal artist, you know, that's pretty much it, like, especially vocalists, it's pretty much male dominated, right? Like, who were your influences coming up, like, that made you want to be like a metal vocalist?
You know, like, I used to love answering this question because Shamaya from OTEP really inspired me. Like, she was the one who showed me that, like, chicks can scream. Yeah, like, Kitty's great and all, but, like, nobody sounded as deep and as brutal as Shamaya did. And, like, now she's just kind of gone fucking, I don't know, man. She's lost her way. She's not the same as what she used to be. But, like,
yeah.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I don't even know, man. Fuck. I don't even know.
It's just one of those things that, you know, not everybody stays the same. Like, I mean, fucking people go off the deep end all the time.
Yeah, but back then, dude, it was this shit. And, like, I would
for sure.
I would bury my fucking head in my pillow and practice my screams and shit. Because I didn't want to do it out loud, like, you know, screaming up in my bedroom. Like, I had a very awkward growing up. That's a whole different story. But, like,
until the next episode.
I would scream in my fucking pillow just to see if I could do it. And then, like, you know, I had my guitar and shit. So I'd play some bar chords and shit and get it to sound kind of nasty or whatever. And then I would do, you know, silly shit. And then, like, I started playing around with, my cousin Terry, he'd play guitar and shit and fucking just play chords and riff, and I'd sing and I'd mess around with my screams, and they sounded like shit, you know. Like, it took so long to even figure out how to do it, because, like, people say all the time, oh, well, I could do that. Anybody can get up there and scream. And it's like, okay.
No, it don't work like that.
I would love to see it. Come on, let's swap places, man. Like,
all 3 minutes that you can do it before you're crying.
Yeah, well, and, like, I just don't want people to hurt themselves. That's why it's not like,
yeah,
please make a fool of yourself. But, like, you know, it's an art form all in itself, and it takes a lot of proper know-how of your vocal cords. You have to really fucking know where your register sits, where your resonance sits, and your vibrational frequencies. You know, because if you do it wrong and it's uncomfortable and you feel it in your throat and it hurts, you're not doing it right. You're going to fuck your shit up.
Absolutely. I got the Zen of Screaming. I don't know if you have it at all, but, like, that thing saved Melissa my fucking
Cross
life.
Melissa Cross is Jesus as far as that goes.
Agreed.
We are all.
I think she saved all life. Yep. It's funny, three vocalists were all like, same thing, Melissa Cross.
The only vocal coach we love has been through a DVD player.
But no, one other thing. I think I got one more question, and then Sean left us, so let me see here. I said, oh yeah, you guys just had a new album come out, didn't you?
Obsequious, yeah, heard it bombed. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm fucking kidding. I'm kidding.
No, so like, if you have it, like, obviously in your live performance, when we get back to that and stuff, you're playing a lot of that, and you were playing a lot of that before we stopped, I'm sure, and, you know, representing the album. Like, what's your favorite song that you're digging off of it the most right now, that you've enjoyed playing the most, or do you feel like the crowd's been the most receptive to?
You
want to
take
me?
I like Trophy. Trophy is my favorite to play.
Do you do a lot of the writing, Josh? Are you big into the in the writing process?
I mean, not for that one.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like Thomas comes up with riffs and we'll jam on it.
That's kind of like what Sean's been doing for us now. Sean, I don't know if you guys knew that, but Sean is in both Chaos Ordnance and Patrol at Dawn now.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Good times.
He was when we put his first shows with us for the weekend that we played together last. So, but he's been with Corey for a while now, right, Corey?
Oh, yeah, about 6 months now.
About 6 months. Yeah, he took up the same day my brother left. So, but yeah, like, I think that we know that we have a Legion's Ball planned that was supposed to be at the end of this month, Corey, right?
Yes.
Originally the end of this month that we plan on rescheduling. We know that's with you guys. What is that? Go ahead and talk about that, Corey, please.
Well, the Legion's Ball, we have
if you want to.
We have Extraction Point. We got Oronaco, Patrol at Dawn, us, obviously, and then you guys are coming down from Indiana. So Mantra Mordon there as well. But Vera Lynn, like we talked about all those old school shows where everyone felt at home, that was the venue for us so far. So when Illinois goes back there, you guys are going to get to experience that old school, like we're all here to chill and have a good time vibe that we're also used to, but barely get to experience anymore. So we had almost like how many people in that motherfucker almost? 100?
We had 100 in there.
It's bananas, but nonetheless, it's a small little venue and it's wall to wall.
It's fucking insane in there.
Yeah,
sure. Is that like a reader?
Yep.
Yeah. So like as soon as we get the okay to do it, like it will be done. Like as soon as you guys are about it and we're about it and everybody feels safe, like it's something that we've got to do.
Yeah.
The fans in our area are demanding it. Like they well, like
everybody's gonna come out of this and just that's fucking the thing, swinging. Like,
this when the shows start getting back out, it's gonna be everybody's gonna be going to shows because everybody's been stuck in their houses.
And the funny thing is I think and this isn't funny and I don't mean this in a comical way. I shouldn't have said funny thing, but one of the things is I feel like the larger events are still gonna be restricted for a little while, like our huge festivals in Tinley Parks. And I think it's going to be the year of the fucking locals coming up, man. The people that weren't giving us the time of day anymore because Korn was playing down the street or Tool was playing down the street. Like, not that's a bad thing, you know, but I get it. They want what they know, but they're going to start giving us the opportunity to pay attention to us and go, look what we've been missing.
Yeah,
you know, it's like any other drug. We give it to them once, they're going to come back because it's so good. Now, I hate to refer to it like that, but that's the fact, man. If they come in the room once, they'll see what we're about and what we've got, you know?
It's a good kind of drug, though, man. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Music is a good kind of drug.
The best drug.
Absolutely.
It helps everybody. Well, so, like, I feel for everyone that's stuck in quarantine and misses going to live shows, man. We miss fucking playing. Yeah. Like, this is just not...
It's our lifeblood. Like, what we've come and we've gotten used to being and what we thrive on. Like, it's our dope, if you will. Like, it's the best high I get is when I'm performing for other people.
Same.
Like, I don't need anything else.
Yeah, man. That's music. That's what music
But it's almost 9 o'clock here where we're at, and it's 10 o'clock where you guys are. So it's been a long one. I got to do a bunch of editing and shit like that. But thanks for hanging out with us, you guys.
Okay, good to have you.
Okay, I am gonna add the boys did say, I think collectively, cognitive dissonance is the song off the album that they all.
Okay,
did.
That's awesome. And if you want, there's a message board, a link that I sent. If they want to send each in, they can click on that link and record like up to 2 minutes and they can each chime in and I can edit it into the show too. So that's something that we can do there too. So yeah. And I sent a link out. I'll send you guys a link in your chat. I'll send it to you, Jesse. And then you can just mass send it out to your people or whatever.
Okay.
But that way they can chime in and like from where they're at and just on their phones and just be like, boom, here you go. There's a 2-minute message and we can throw it in like, hey, this is, you know, Tom. Hey, this is Pickles, you know, like.
Do you guys have any shout outs? Like,
yeah, there you go, Corey. What'd you say, Corey?
I said, do you guys have any shout outs you want to throw out before we close the call?
I mean, to anyone who's actually listening to this and out there supporting their local artists right now, I guess, you know, the healthcare workers taking care of people. Well, even just anybody that's out there helping and doing what they need to do. It's tough fucking times. I hope the music is helping, you know.
No, I'm sure it's a lot of
you guys are such a.
I know podcasts are helping, so thank you guys. Yeah,
thank you guys
for doing what you do.
You guys are very welcome.
We're trying to do something different here. We're just trying to keep everybody, you know, informed and let them know that we're still out here and that we still care and that like people like yourselves still care and that this is affecting all of us. You know what I mean? That was the whole mission behind this. And we're going to keep this going after this quarantine stuff because we feel like it's gotten to the point where, you know, people want to know about us anyway. They want to be, if they want to be in the scene, they want to be really a part of it. They want to be connected. They want to know who we are. And it's always a pleasure to work with you guys. Like you guys, as Corey said earlier, it's an inspiration. Like you guys are, you set the bar and you set it fucking high. So keep it that way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. We've got a passion. I feel it like in my bones, dude. And I just, it's cool when people resonate with that, like you guys have. I feel like you're family, you know?
And we feel the same about you.
One of us.
You guys have been fucking incredible. Thank you so much for fucking coming on.
We love having you guys. And we'll do this again soon, and hopefully we'll be able to get everybody on.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm still learning. I'm learning all the technical side of everything, so.
Hey, man, me too. I'd much rather be in person.
This is pretty rad, though.
Yeah, this is cool. This is a good substitute.
Like, it's working out. It's working out. We're all in the same place indirectly.
It's good to break the silence a little bit everyone's facing.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But we love you guys, man. Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure.
Bye. Much love, Mom and Dad. We love you.
All right. Bye. Y'all be safe.
Peace, guys.
Yeah, you too. Wash your hands.
Paradox by Mantra Mortar.